it's very gratifying to all of us to know that we are getting buyers to the finish line. We're not just taking a down payment, sticking someone in a home, and who cares if they ever get their own loan? Who cares if they're ever successful?
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Today, I'm very excited to introduce our amazing guest for the day, Nick Prefontaine. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hi, Suja. I'm extremely excited to be here with you today.
Thanks. Just so stoked to have you on your show. You know, we've had your dad earlier and you have your own unique story and though you guys work together. So why don't you start us off, Nick, by just sharing a bit about how you came into real estate and anything else that you want to share about your background?
Yeah, thank you for that. These stories go hand in hand with dating back to my experience. I was actually, when I was 14 years old, I was at ski club with my friends and I got to the mountain with them and got my gear on, got my snowboard gear on and headed right up the chairlift. Going up the chairlift though, we noticed that it was very icy. Because it had been raining, we saw that people were kind of wiping out everywhere. We got to the top and it wasn't my first day on a snowboard, if you know what I mean. I knew what I was doing on a snowboard. So I got to the top and of course, and I still to this day take any slight or anything like that as a challenge personally. So everyone was saying that going up the chairlift, oh, you'd be crazy. Anyone that hit that jump would be crazy in these conditions. Of course, Suja, I took that as a challenge. So I buckled in, headed straight for that jump with all my speed. Going up to the jump, I caught the edge of my snowboard on the snow going up it, and that threw me off balance. So I didn't have my balance going off this big jump in the air. I know the listeners, if you're not viewing this, cannot see me visually, but in the air, I rotated and then landed right on my head.
Oh my gosh.
I was told later that I did land on my head, and these details of the story were filled in for me over the coming months as I got my memory back and everyone filled me in what happened. They wanted to, because of the severity of my injuries, they wanted to life flight me to the ICU, to the hospital. However, it was too windy, so they couldn't. Now, there are several things about that day that, because of my accident, I still can't explain. However, one of them being that there's only on this staff of 6 paramedics, there is only one of them who could intubate right on the spot. And you need that in the event of a serious injury so you're able to breathe, to insert a breathing tube in your throat. And luckily for me, he was working that day. He was one of the 6. There was only a few paramedics that showed up, but he showed up at the mountain that day. Then I was rushed to the ICU, intensive care unit, at UMass Memorial Hospital. They had to intubate me because they were worried if I woke up. And just from the severity of the impact alone, I would have been out for 7 or 10 days. But they were afraid that I would wake up and I would panic and I'd be like, where am I? Who are these people? What's going on? And I already had swelling in my brain because I landed right on my head. So they had to intubate me. I'm sorry. They had to, induce me, not intubate. Yeah. They had to induce me into a coma because they were worried that I would wake up and panic and then the swelling would go up and I would die. So after 3 weeks, I came out of my coma. I really don't remember a month, but they say it was 3 weeks that I was in the coma. I don't remember a month because I was coming off of those drugs that I had to be placed under.
Wow.
When I got in the accident. Then after a month, I was transported to a rehab hospital in Boston, and that's where I started my journey to have to learn how to walk, talk, and eat again. At the ICU at UMass, the doctors had told my parents that, look, even if he comes out of this, he's probably not going to be able to walk, talk, or eat again. You'll be prepared that you're probably going to have to get 24-hour care for the rest of his life. He's probably, for lack of a better term, going to be a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents, this was important, Suja. My parents didn't let that information, even though I was in a coma, they didn't let that influence me. They didn't even let the doctors say that in front of me. The doctors came to share that news with them, and they said, no, not in front of him, and they made him go outside. I mean, obviously, I'm here today, so I feel that was definitely instrumental.
Yeah,
I know I've been talking a lot. Did you want to word in edgewise here?
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I was just listening to your story, which is just fascinating and such a very intense thing to happen when you're 14. And glad to see that you've made a full recovery from that. I know it was I think you said 19 years ago. And yeah, I'm just curious to see how that story turned out for you. What did that lead to in your life?
Sure. So I had to, when I was at the rehab hospital, I had to do, and this kind of leads into, this is why it was interesting the way you asked the question, because this leads into my foray into real estate and how I got interested in that. I had to do double sessions of physical, occupational, and speech therapy 5 days a week. And then fast forward to a little under total stay in the hospital, a little under 3 months later, I ran out of the hospital. That was my goal from as early as I could communicate, and I ran out of the hospital. After that, I got home. The school said, take your time, focus on your rehab. You don't have to worry about coming back to school. You could just do eighth grade again next year. And I didn't want to do that. So I
then you're not with your friends and, behind a year, it's a setback that you somebody like yourself clearly didn't want.
Exactly. Yeah. And I got tutored. I actually went back to school with my classmates, but because I was so far behind, I wasn't able to go to their classes and keep up with them. I had to be tutored every day that I went there. And that I would be tutored for 2 hours. Then I would go to lunch with my friends and classmates. Then my mom would pick me up and take me to outpatient therapy for, again, physical, occupational, and speech therapy. And I had to do that all summer long, not only to graduate, but I needed that outpatient rehab to complete my recovery. Then if you go forward, gosh, I would say you go forward a year and a half or so, I saw what my parents were doing. And that was, I grew up in a real estate business. So my dad was a builder when I was real small. Then he was a realtor, then an investor, and then kind of went back to being a realtor and had a few things going on. But I was always around it. I grew up around it. It was all I lived, breathed, and thought about. So around the time that I was getting my learner's permit when I was 16, they needed someone to, they were playing with the idea, this was back in 05, 06, they were playing with the idea of door knocking as investors, because my dad had an investment company at the time, door knocking pre-foreclosure doors or sellers that have received a notice of default letter from the bank. then that person who would go and knock on their door would set up a meeting with one of the investors from the company to come down and meet with them and see if it would be a fit for them. Right around that time, I was interested and I went to my dad like, hey, how can I help? How can I get started? Because the book that started me down that path was Robert Kiyosaki's Cashflow Quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
Not the
Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Yeah, exactly. It was the cash flow quadrant which that really got my wheels turning, that really got me interested. So I asked him how I could get started, how I could help. And right when I got my license, I started knocking on doors.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you were about like 16, 17 at this time?
16, yeah.
Okay, very interesting. Right, and how did you, I mean, clearly you lived in a real estate family. Your dad's been in it for a long time, doing various different pieces of the business. Just curious, what got you to read Cashflow Quadrant?
Suji, this is going back. you're really testing me. This is going back to when I was, 15. I don't know. I was just, I saw it in the library, saw it on my dad's bookshelf, and I was interested, and I just wanted to help, and I wanted to get started. So yeah. That was my foray, I guess you could call it, into real estate. And when...
Well, I just want to just highlight one of the takeaways there that, you know, I mean, we're all influenced by our parents and by the background that we come from. And in your case, you know, you were lucky enough that your dad had that book on his bookshelf. And similarly, my mom had, like, I remember she had a Tony Robbins cassette tape, and I listened to it in like 2015, like long after, you know, cassette tapes were a thing. But if our parents don't provide those influences for us, then, you know, we need to go and find those for ourselves. So, but you kind of have a, you know, you got to think about your background and like, well, what is it that you were instilled with from your parents? Is there anything you want to add to the toolkit that they've offered you? So I just think that's an important takeaway. So anyway, so you listen to Cashflow Quadrant. For those of you who haven't listened to that or aren't familiar with the Cashflow Quadrant, why don't I let you tell it, Nick?
I was just going to say read it. I read it. I didn't listen to it.
Oh, okay. Or read it. Yeah.
I knew what you meant. My dad also had Tony Robbins tapes in his car as well. So I can relate to that. That was all I ever knew growing up. So when I started to get the entrepreneurial itch, that's what I did. And even prior to that, I had my own car washing business where I had a motor scooter and I would go and visit all the neighbors' houses and wash their car on the weekend. So I was always doing something.
Yeah, that's very telling. Although, you know, it's always possible to make that switch later on in life, but clearly you had the entrepreneurial bug early on and wanted to be on that right half of the cash flow quadrant. For those of you who haven't familiarized yourself, that it's a book and there's basically four quadrants. There's employee, self-employed, business owner, and investor. And the idea is that when you're an employee or self-employed, then you're trading time for money. And when you're a business owner or an investor, then you're able to leverage your other people and systems in order to make money. So you kind of can stop trading your time for money like you do when you're, you know, paid by the hour or et cetera.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, lux-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Okay. Well, I'm excited, Nick, to just hear, you know, do you think that recovering, you said that the two kind of go together, like recovering from your accident and like getting into real estate. Can you speak a little bit more to that?
Yeah. And I meant the stories, the timelines going.
I see. Okay.
And
got it.
However, you're right, because this was just recently pointed out to me by my mentor, Trisha Brooke, who I'm working with. She's out of New York City. She pointed out that doing doors and knocking on pre-foreclosure doors and speaking with these homeowners, these sellers who were obviously in a distressed situation, that came only 2 years after I ran out of the hospital. So it was definitely a part of my recovery by going and learning how to, I mean, there's no better way, and I don't know if you agree with this, but there's no better way than to learn how to sell and learn how to help people by face-to-face doing doors, because people open the door. Whether you're 16 or 60, you better have something compelling to say, or else you're going to get the door slammed in your face a lot. And I did. I did that very early on. I got a lot of doors closed in my face, but then I adjusted my strategy after visiting the number one person in the country out in California with my cousin. Noticed how he was doing it very different than me. And there were so many nuances to it. And that really taught me to relate to people, that they're not going to bring their walls down until you relate to them.
Yeah. Just Nick, just for listeners who aren't necessarily familiar with this, like, can you just review like what it is that you're attempting to do when you are reaching out to these buyers who are in pre-foreclosure?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. These are sellers that, and this was back in 2005 and 2006, but these were sellers that had missed several payments on their mortgage and the bank still hadn't foreclosed on the house. It's published. It has to be by law published in the paper. So it's public knowledge. I would go and knock on these doors and try to set up a meeting with one of our investors. Is that what you were asking? Did that answer your question?
Yeah, just so the listeners have an idea of like what happens when, like why you would be talking to these buyers and what kinds of options you might be offering them.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was throughout the rest of my high school career, I was doing that with great success doing that and continuing to set up meetings for our investors to go out there and meet with them. Then fast forward, after I graduated high school, I started studying right away to get my real estate license. And then I got it. I passed the test, but it was March of 2008. March 8th of 2008.
Uh-huh.
Really great time to become a realtor for those for those of you that don't know. That was right as the financial markets were in the process of crashing.
Yeah.
So anyway, regardless, I had to learn how to sell and run a business in that environment. There were all different agents and brokers talking about, oh my God, you should have seen it back in the day when it was so easy, but that's all I knew. So it didn't make any difference to me. It was just more dials on the phone. Then if you transition to 2014, my dad needed help with what he was doing as an investor, which is buying and selling properties on terms without any of his credit and signing personally. So credit or cash or investor cash, he needed help with selling these properties once he acquired them. So he asked me in 2014, I was very reluctant to, I was like, no, I got my own thing going on here. I don't need to be doing what you're doing or mess with that. So luckily he asked me a couple of times. He didn't just take no right away, but then I started helping him with the marketing of the properties, then the buyers, and then that transitioned to me letting my real estate license go in January of 2016 and going full time with him. And ever since, and that's how I developed the buyer process that now I teach all of our associates, the buyer process and the particular steps that you have to put a buyer through, not only to get more of a down payment for you as an investor, but also to increase their chances, their likelihood that they will get to the finish line and get their own loan.
Okay. So let's just take a pause here. And I want to make sure that we understand, you know, kind of what your business model is currently and who it is that you're helping. So can you just define who it is, like clarify the roles of the buyer versus the investor, Nick, and like what it is that you're doing with these properties?
Yeah, with the buyers. And this is actually these buyers. So once we acquire these properties, and typically just to give you a like 10,000 foot view, typically the homes that we end up buying are homes that for one reason or another could not sell on the conventional market, whether not necessarily market conditions, but whether there's things going on with the seller and they just, for whatever reason, it couldn't come to fruition. They couldn't get a buyer on the conventional market. We'll step in and we'll buy the home, but it will come in the form of a delayed cash sale. So in most cases, and just to really simplify this down for the listeners, is we'll give them their price, or we'll give them a higher price. However, like I said, it'll come in the form of a delayed cash sale. And I'll just use the simple example of buying a home on a lease purchase or a rent to own. We'll get a term for, call it 3 to 5 years. And we'll say, okay, we'll buy it from you, but we're not going to, the contract's going to go for 3 to 5 years. And we're not going to cash it out, or we're not going to have one of our buyers get a loan and cash it out until that time. But in the interim, we'll make sure we're maintaining all property maintenance, taxes, insurance, that kind of thing, so you never have to worry about the property. Then in turn, how we will find our buyers is we'll offer the home rent to own or lease purchase to buyers. And there's a large pool of buyers, even today, that can walk into a bank and get a loan. We're going to work with those buyers, and it's roughly 80% of the buyer pool out there that for whatever reason they can't get a loan today. We'll get them in there, and our program does require a down payment, of course. They can't just get in there with zero down, but it requires a down payment. We, of course, want to make sure that they make enough income to support the home, which is just as important, if not more important, than their down payment. We'll meet with them. Then if we accept them, they'll finalize a deal with our attorney. And they'll move into the property. We have anywhere from, gosh, right now it's anywhere from 20 to 35 properties that we have buyers that are at some stage of this process going through getting their own loan. Because we've been doing this for so long, actively since 14, 15, 16, and then even later, we have right now anywhere from 2 to 3 actual closings per month where our buyers are getting their own loans. So it's a lot of work that goes into it and communicating with the lender and the attorneys and everything, but it's very gratifying to all of us to know that we are getting buyers to the finish line. We're not just taking a down payment, sticking someone in a home, and who cares if they ever get their own loan? Who cares if they're successful?
So Nick, this is very interesting. And just to clarify a couple things. So are you guys providing a down payment to the seller?
Not in all cases. Usually we're buying homes with zero or little down.
Okay. And then so what's in it for them initially? Like there's nothing except like, well, we're like, do they have any kind of, are you paying the seller's rent or interest, and how do they become convinced that, you know, you're going to be able to deliver on this promise?
Well, we are accredited with the Better Business Bureau with an A+ rating, and we have been since 2015. However, every deal is different, as I'm sure you can appreciate, but just in this very simple example that I'm doing, buying a home on a lease purchase, and then once we get that equitable interest, we're able to legally go out and look for a buyer. Just in that example, is everything's contracted out. Everything's contractual. So it's not just winging it. Every deals are different, but some will make a contingent on a buyer, which means that we won't start making payments until we get a buyer accepted. Others will put a closing date out 60 or 90 days out and say we're closing regardless on that deal. And that's when the payments will start, and we'll pay the underlying mortgage, so the seller doesn't have to worry about it.
Okay.
So we'll take care of all that.
Okay, got it. And as far as looking for the buyers, I mean, I know there's like a lot of different reasons why people can't qualify for loans, but how do you, you know, vet them? Because if you are wanting to make sure they have enough income, is that not like, why is that not sufficient enough for them to get a loan? So how come, how are you guys able to be more flexible with buyers?
Well, I mean, you say more flexible, but because of the lessons that we've learned throughout the years, we're almost the process that we put all of our buyers through with making sure their payments are on time and really transitioning them from being a renter to that of a buyer is, it's really a lot of work throughout the whole process. But we put the buyer through a very particular process. And why that's important for the listeners to know is that same process, the buyer process with our system, which can all be found in the Quantum Leap System video course. If you go check out our website, you can get that, smartrealestatecoach.com. The whole buyer process is in there, along with recorded calls and everything like that. I just didn't want to get too down in the...
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, I was just curious about it. But yeah, we don't have to go all the way down there right now. Okay, well, that's really cool. And so basically you're able to help. And then, so do you work with investors then, or is it just you and your family that are buying these properties?
Yeah, we work with investors. All right, so that's like our business, like I was telling you. And we do the buying and selling, but then we have associates all over the country who we in essence partner with on these deals to do them together, to hold their hand and do the deals together, so they have the same systems and processes and tools that we have as a company, so that they can also be successful and they can also have buyers getting to the finish line and getting their own loans.
Yeah. Well, that is very cool. You know, I mean, I think it's pretty noble effort to be able to, one, you know, build your own business, but that by the same time token, like helping people who wouldn't normally be able to get into a home, get into a home. So yeah, definitely a lot to explore there. And it's great that you're able to teach it, you know, because if you can teach it and have success with other people, that means that it's, you know, something that can be replicated. And it's just seems like just a win-win situation for a lot of people. So very cool.
And I love it, of course. That's why I like, you started asking me questions. It's not like I had to read through a script and prepare. Like it's what I do every day. So it comes out naturally. However, if anything I said rings true to anyone out, any of your listeners, they can head on over to our website, which is smartrealestatecoach.com. and have a look at our free master's class, and they'll be able to determine if it's a good fit for them, because it's not a good fit for everyone to build a business as an investor. Not everyone's aligned with our values, and I get that. We're not trying to be all things to all people. However, I'm just giving your listeners and your audience an opportunity. If, like I said, anything I said rings true to them, they can go and check that out.
Awesome stuff. Well, I definitely think that is like a really excellent way for people to get started in, you know, if you're interested in kind of being on like making money in real estate, but don't necessarily have a lot of money to put down and want to do good in the world and help other people with a hand up, then this seems like a really great opportunity. So thanks so much for sharing, Nick, your story, you know, coming back from your accident all the way back then into your entrepreneurial spirit and to what you guys are doing today with buyers and these kind of like interesting properties that aren't getting sold for the price that the seller wants. So really great stuff. And, you know, Nick already shared how to check him out. So thank you so much, Nick, for coming.
I have another gift, if I could. For your audience, they can go to wickedsmartbooks.com/passive-income. Once they input their info, we will send them a free book, The New Rules of Real Estate. But when I say free, we're not going to charge them for shipping or anything like that. It's 100% free. That'll go out to them.
Very cool. Well, that's an awesome opportunity, folks. So I hope you take advantage of that. It'll be in the show notes for sure. So awesome. Thanks so much, Nick, for coming on, and really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me, Suja.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, luxe-cap.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.